For today's In Touch, I'm joined by Faye Vitito, member of Friends of Lake Darling and chair of the Fundraising and Development Committee, to discuss the Friends' most recent meeting. A donation came through of a cart?
Yes. Nathan, the Friends of Lake Darling have recently, for the state park usage, has received a donation of a utility conversion on a golf cart body that has a back cargo area to be used for items in servicing the lodge or cabins, or maybe even a chainsaw and gas can for the park staff to be able to use on the smaller areas where roadway and heavy equipment are not needed. So this has been valued at a $3,000 golf cart, and it was received by some longtime supporters of the Friends of Lake Darling, and we anticipate it being used by predominantly the park staff in order to help get around their personnel in the campground.
So it'll be strictly a park cart, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the roadways in the park are open to any and all carts.
That is correct. In reviewing some of the roadway, and even this, it would include the park ground roadways, the campground roadways, they are actually considered part of the Iowa highway infrastructure, so the same rules of the road apply. Those are public highways, and so you cannot have vehicles that are banned for use on Highway 1 cannot be used in the public parts of the park either. That is correct.
Thanks for sharing that. I was unaware that it was considered a part of the public highway system.
The advantage of that is the park has access to the highway monies that are used for infrastructure, as well as for snow removal in the winter. If you're there during a snow event, you will see the Iowa DOT snow trucks. They'll go down Highway 1 and 78, slip into the park, and clean all the park roads and out. So it really makes it nice, because that way the lodge parking lot, the campground parking lots, those will all be cleaned and maintained with snow from the Iowa DOT.
Shifting the focus from the roads to the park as a whole, there's a documentary being created about Lake Darling and the restoration, and it looked like it was brought up at the Friends of Lake Darling's last meeting.
Yes, it was, and it's interesting because, first of all, we have Lake Darling, which is a beautiful new body of water that occasionally has a little too much life in it in the form of green algae, but that's temporary. And then we have a wonderful park that has been built around it. It'll be one of the top state parks in Iowa, and we already see that from usage. And I think most importantly, we have to remind ourselves and the entire public that we would not have this beautiful water and renovated park had it not been for the caretaking of the conservation practices of the 12,500 acres of farmland. And so the water that comes from the farmland, the volunteer conservation practices that have been done by the landowners in Lake Darling watershed. A watershed is the area where if rain falls on the farm ground, where does that water end up when it goes downhill? And for the Lake Darling watershed, it ends up in Lake Darling. And we would have muddy water again if it would be for poor conservation practices. To celebrate this and to talk about it is a documentary that is in the editing room right now and is joint partnership of Marvel Entertainment and Iowa Public Television, and has received tremendous backing and funding by the Washington County Riverboat Foundation. Sam Kotensky is the executive producer, and in this documentary to be premiered in the Lake Darling, Washington area will epitomize the amount of work that needs to be done and the work that was done by a small group of people because of a wonderful conservation practice in this one watershed that we were able to bring a state park back. So Darling is back, can be thought of as Lake Darling has returned to us in a pristine state as it was in 1950 when Ding Darling was here. Also, it signifies that Ding Darling's own personal conservation ethic, which he worked tirelessly for as a Des Moines Register cartoonist, to even sometimes go against the editorial board of the Des Moines Register, what they thought might be going on. If Ding Darling didn't think that that would suit Mother Nature and clean water and fishing opportunities and recreation, he knew the natural space and wildlife, whether it be ducks or deer, that that was a very important signalment of what the human race needed. And if our wildlife and wild spaces and water and parks are doing poorly, that means that we humans soon will follow, because the life-giving nature of water is basically, Nathan, good water. It's one water, one earth, and one home. So we all rely upon that. And Ding Darling's ethic will be brought back in that, combined with the efforts of our friends of Lake Darling since 2002. And we will be showcasing the very importance of wonderful voluntary conservation practices, not only in the Lake Darling watershed, but throughout Iowa and the nation. We really feel that this will have a national appeal. It's a local story, but with a very pertinent national story that needs to be told throughout the country. Not only that, it is a message to the generations that follow us that it has to be a continued concerted effort. And as our population on the planet grows, and as the type of food production for humans puts more pressure on water quality, air quality, and land quality, that we need to continue to grab these opportunities in agriculture to conserve not only the land but the water, and to keep it clean, and to expand what's been done in the Lake Darling watershed to nearby watersheds. Other watersheds will hear that term more commonly in the future. We now know we have an English Valley watershed group organizing to affect the same thing.
That was the first half of my conversation with Faye Vitito, chair of Friends of Lake Darling's Fundraising and Development Committee, for this edition of In Touch with Southeast Iowa. For KCII News, I'm Nathan Swenson.